Three, two, one.
Here we go! Hi, I'm here live from Health 2025 in Las Vegas, and I've met some awesome folks from Ada Health. This is Jacob Plummer, the Chief Commercial Officer from Ada Health. First of all, Jacob, just tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and your story.
Yeah, great. Well, I joined Ada just about a year ago. Actually, I came from a company called DataVance in San Francisco. Really focused on how to use health data to improve outcomes for patients. But I started off my career as a hospital director at University of Chicago Medical Center.
Well, I love your hospital and health system background because, as you know, that's the work we do every day. And a lot of our listeners are at hospitals and health systems just like that. So as you think about, you know, your experience both with health systems as well as at Ada, and as you consider the industry as a whole, what do you think is really missing in the space?
Well, I think two things. The first one is that there are so many people that are actually undiagnosed or misdiagnosed with conditions that if they got the right diagnosis, they'd be able to be off to a better life and better care. So one of the questions is, how do we use this technology to accelerate that? The second thing, kind of putting on my old hospital director hat, is that I used to run a specialty clinic. And, you know, specialists are some of the most scarce human capital that we have in the country. And oftentimes the patients that they're seeing aren't the ones that are really that they need to see. They see a lot of patients that could be treated in a less acute setting. And so when you look at that long wait times, one of the questions is, how can you get some of the patients redirected to be seen at a lower acuity center, open up spots, and then get the patients that really need to see those specialists in faster? There's also much better use of the specialist time.
Well, you just brought up, I think, some really important hot points right now. One is clinician shortage, especially in the specialty space. Two, you brought up access challenges, wait times. That's an issue we hear every single day from patients. That's their number one concern at the moment is wait times. And then three, I think you're starting to get at this really interesting solution or way in, which is when we think about the patient experience, there are all kinds of innovative ways to get people where they need to go faster.
Yeah.
So just tell us a little bit more about that. What do you think is possible there?
Well, can I tell you a little bit of a story?
Yeah.
So when I started off as a hospital director, it was at an academic medical center. I hadn't known what the term resident physician meant at that time. But of course, what I learned was that a resident physician is a doctor, but is training in a specialty. And actually, they'll see a patient first and they'll do a briefing then to the attending physician to say, this is what I think this patient has. And the resident is learning and getting feedback from the attending, but also the attending can, at least in my practice, was able to see four times as many patients as they could have without residents. So you can think of a resident as being an increase in productivity for the attending. So if you step back and you say, well, what can we do with technology? So what Ada does, it's an AI solution that integrates with a number of different apps, getting in front of patients when they're at home, trying to understand their symptoms. I think of it as a resident physician that is in an AI format. So what it means is that now this patient is able to get all these questions asked to them. The AI is able to say, look, this is a condition that I think you should get screened for. They get a discussion guide they can take to a doctor, and the doctor is able to look at it and just in a single paragraph or two, it'll explain, just like a resident might, here are the reasons that this patient is here. Here are the things that they could be screened for. So what that means is that now this attending or any physician has a productivity boost. They can understand what's going on much faster. They can see more patients. And the AI has done a lot of the heavy lifting. But maybe the AI has been talking to the patient for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, doing a lot of questions. But that wasn't time that the doctor had to put into it. The doctor gets the benefit of all the synthesis of the AI. So that's how I think of how AI can actually put like a resident doctor, I like to think, out there to help every doctor.
I think you blew my mind when you said a resident physician in an AI format.
Yeah.
And then as you unpacked that, it's really fascinating because this solves a variety of problems. But, you know, one is patients are always looking to get their, they want more conversation with their doctor, right? They want more back and forth. They want, you know, more messaging time when they're at home. They want more FaceTime. And so it sounds like my understanding would this would really help the overarching patient satisfaction. It would help brand loyalty, which is something that our audiences are really focused on. And it helps the clinicians sort of scale themselves. Is that kind of the overarching business goals you're looking to accomplish?
It does all of those things. And I'll add one more. it is geographic independent. So what that means is that if you're a health system that has a center of excellence, like when I was running a division, some of the most complex patients that we were seeing were coming in from hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles away, sometimes from overseas. And that was great because they really needed to be seen at the center. You can deploy the AI. I mean, we're in a dozen languages, so you can deploy us in anywhere from Brazil to the Middle East and Dubai or so forth. Because that means that you can actually extend the reach of your specialty clinics all around the world, find the people that really need to be seen by you, and then make them aware of the services that you're providing. But then you get the insight of why they're a good patient to come to you.
Okay, so it also allows a health system to go from local or regional to global in their reach and their scale by being able to not just translate, but meet people with all kinds of needs around the world.
That's totally right. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty incredible. So I'm just thinking about some of the shifts that we're seeing in the space. So as we speak to chief marketing officers, chief brand officers, chief strategy officers, experience officers, we see a lot of these roles shifting and changing. And, patient experience, patient satisfaction, patient loyalty, but also clinician satisfaction are the top problems that really we're seeing right now in those audiences. So is there anything, as you sort of step back and look at, let's just say, patient engagement overarchingly, is there anything that you think that people should be thinking about differently beyond maybe the things that you've shared? Just industry-wise, what's your gauge of where the industry is today compared to where it needs to be?
Yeah. Look, I think that there's a lot of pressure around the time that's available for in-person meetings between a patient and a doctor. So the question is, how can you actually make that experience more satisfactory for both of them? We just actually did a study with a super large health system, the largest in Portugal, and they surveyed all the patients that actually encountered Ada before they saw the doctor. And the patient said, I was actually more equipped to make a good use of that time with the doctor because I already had all the questions at the top of my mind. I have this report to help guide me. Well, the doctors said the same thing. They said, look, because I didn't have to like ask all the same questions, that work was already done, I was able to have more meaningful conversations, and my patients were already prepped to have those conversations. So it's about taking, let's say you only have 10 minutes or 15 minutes, how do you increase the quality of that? And that's going to increase the experience both for the doctors and also for the patients.
That's awesome. Okay, so last question. So we're here at Health, where literally all the interesting solutions surround us and all the sessions and the great ideas. Is there anything that you've seen while you've been at Health? I know there's all kinds of announcements being made, all kinds of new news. Anything that you've seen or kind of heard that you thought was really fascinating?
Yes. Well, I mean, I want to talk about some things that I'm personally excited about.
Let's do it.
Okay. So one of them is that we just formed a partnership that we announced with a division of Optum called Fullspan. And to give you some context, because I started off as a hospital director in a specialty that had super long wait times, like it might take 6 to 8 months for us to see a patient, I'm very sensitive to how long it takes for patients to get the care they need and to get to the right place. So Fullspan has a great solution called Health Grades. It will allow you, after we tell a patient what type of condition they should be screened for, Health Grades will tell them the very best doctor in their area based off of experience to see. So it increases the likelihood that that patient is going to have a rewarding experience right from the beginning. It's going to save them a lot of frustration, you know, get to the right place. The second one I talk about is all the things you can do at home now. So there used to be, I'm going to talk about sleep apnea. You know, there's 80 million Americans that are either undiagnosed or have been not making their way to treatment for sleep apnea. It's crazy high. I mean, it's only a population of 330 million. Well, it used to be that it would take you months and months to get to a sleep lab. Now, one of our partners, ResMed, has made it possible for people to have a wearable called Night Owl, where they can use it themselves at home and be able to then present the results to a sleep doctor in telemedicine, which means that they can get to treatment way faster than they could before. So this is all about shortening lines, getting people the care they need faster, and just getting rid of the frustration that comes with, you know, too big of a bureaucracy. I mean, we can streamline so much of this stuff. So those are the types of partnerships I'm getting fired up by.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you're fired up. Love that you're fired up by it. It seems like if I sum those up in kind of the overarching theme, it's all about how do we get patients care faster? And right now, that is a big struggle because you mentioned wait times before. And right now, for everything from sleep to any other specialty, it's very, very long typically. So reducing those, you know, getting patients that care faster, it's not just good for satisfaction, but ultimately health. So I love the work that you're doing. We were just very inspired by it as we kind of got to know you all a little bit. Is there anything that we didn't cover or anything, you know, remaining that you are fired up about?
Well, I guess I would say that maybe if you look at one of the positive things, medical knowledge is just growing in leaps and bounds. I saw a presentation here earlier that said that something like every year we learn more than what we learned in the prior decade. So this is where AI, what we're investing in, is really a way for people to keep up, you know, for patients to have it at their fingertips, for doctors to have it. And it's all about, can you trust it? So I like to tell people, if AI says that you have sleep apnea or AI says that you have multiple sclerosis, will your doctor get you in earlier because of that? Do they trust the AI enough? So that's what we're investing in, is the trustworthy AI. And I think that's something we didn't quite talk about, but I think that's going to be the future. We're going to see a lot of that over the next year. And so people who are interested in it should come and talk to us.
Well, that's a whole other topic that maybe we can chat about next time we chat. But, you know, it seems like the tech and the AI has gotten so much more sophisticated. What needs a lot of work right now is the trust, the human change management. And so we have that to do in 2026, right?
And yeah, it's great to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for everybody for listening. And stay tuned for more.
3, 2, 1.